Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A digitized archive containing some of humanity's greatest achievements is on its way to the moon. The Lunar Library blasted off aboard an Israeli spacecraft last month. The library is the size of a computer disk, but it contains tens of thousands of books and images and the entire English language Wikipedia. It's part of a project to place archives all over the solar system, even deep underground on Earth, so that if the apocalypse strikes and humans are wiped out, the knowledge that we've accumulated won't necessarily disappear. Joining me now is Nova Spivak. He's co-founder of the ARC Mission Foundation, the LA-based nonprofit behind the Lunar Library. Nova, welcome.
Thank you.
So you've managed to fit a vast archive of human history and civilization on a tiny little disk. How did you decide what to include?
Well, we wanted to be as inclusive as possible. So for this first Lunar Library landing, one of many, we started with large curated open data sets such as the Wikipedia, Project Gutenberg, the PanLex data sets, and the Rosetta data sets, which are a key to 5,000 languages, and many other open data sets like the World Factbook.
Books and pictures and things like that, too.
And tens of thousands of books and images as well.
This is not the first time that humans have launched this kind of an archive into space. In the 1970s, NASA's Voyager 1 and 2 spacecrafts carried something called the Golden Record with greetings in 55 languages and this Chuck Berry song.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good.
Okay, so that's Johnny B. Good. Your project sounds quite a bit more advanced than that. You even found a way to harness DNA to store the data. How do you explain that?
Well, we have many different technologies for storing data. On the Lunar Library, actually, the data is stored in pure nickel disks, very thin disks. So they're the same diameter as a DVD, but they're much thinner. They're only 40 microns thick, and there's 25 of them stacked together. And the top four layers actually have images etched at a nanoscale into nickel. So they're tiny little images of pages of books, photos.
So that if someone or something were to come across this someday, they wouldn't have to read a language that we can use. They can just look at this picture to decipher what they're looking at?
Yeah, so they don't need a computer. That's the most important thing, first of all. They just need a very simple microscope that has the same magnification that we've had since the 1700s. So we've had this on Earth for a long time. It's low technology. And that was important because we don't know if they're going to have a computer.
Now, you're expecting this to survive maybe for billions of years on the surface of the moon, but it is really cold on the moon. There's radiation out there. How do you make it space-proof?
Yeah, actually, the moon is also really hot, and it's a very harsh environment. And so, first of all, the fact that we're using pure nickel really helps because it doesn't decay. It has no half-life. Basically, it lasts forever as long as you don't scratch it.
We're talking science here, but of course, this is sort of philosophical as well. Let's get to the why you're doing this. And if you think that as you embark upon this project of yours, that some other civilization out there is doing a similar thing.
Well, you know, first of all, our intended audience is not some other world. It's our world in the distant future or other inhabitants of our solar system in the distant future. So we're really designing for beings that are cognitively equivalent to us. They might look very different, but at least they have eyes and they have at least language and they can think and understand in some way that's similar to us so that this thing is at least comprehensible as information.
But why?
Now, why?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why? Because there are so many problems that we are facing in this world that we live in right now. Why dedicate all this time and I assume money into a project like this?
Well, civilizations actually have an average lifetime of about 330 some years, according to a recent study the BBC actually cited. So they don't really last as long as we might think. And our civilization is actually more ephemeral than any civilization that came before because of our reliance on digital storage in disks and hard drives and in magnetic tape. That stuff oxidizes and it won't last very long, maybe a few decades before it's unusable. So really, if anything bad were to happen, almost all of our data would be wiped out and lost forever. The civilizations that wrote their knowledge into stone, we still have that. So that's the idea, is how can we record something as a gift for these future inhabitants, whoever they are, whenever they arise, so that they can understand who we were and what we knew and get the benefit of whatever it is that we learned.
The Israeli spacecraft where this library is right now is on its way to the moon. We expect it to get there when? In April?
Yeah, around April, hopefully April 11th, which would be pretty neat because that's 411, which is information.
Okay, that's Nova Spivak, co-founder of the ARC Mission Foundation, which has created the Lunar Library. It is hurtling toward the moon as we speak. Nova, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jeremy, this guy, his name is Nova. He's going to figure it out, I'm sure.
Just because the name like Nova, it's got to work.